Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
In this Life App series, we have been talking specifically about applications that we can make and implement in our lives that will make life better for us, but also make us better at life. We've talked about rest and encouragement and forgiveness and confession. And in today's message, we talk about an application that lies at the core of every relationship. It is something that the more of it there is, the stronger and healthier our relationships are. It is something that takes a long time to gain, but can be broken in a moment. It is something that can... In this life application series, we have talked about specific applications or practices that we can implement to make life better and to make us better at life. We've talked about rest and encouragement and forgiveness and confession. In today's message, we talk about an application that lies at the core of every relationship. It is something that the more there is, the stronger and healthier our relationships are. It is something that can be broken in a moment, but can take a long time to gain. It is something that can be restored, but almost always remains on fragile ground after it's broken. When we started navigating the digital world with our kids, specifically when we started discovering it was time to give them a cell phone for the first time, we developed what we called an electronics agreement. And we laid out the expectations of what it would mean for them to have electronics privileges. And we had this electronics agreement, and both of the kids signed their copy, as did Denise and I. Well, one of the responsibilities, one of the agreements in the electronics agreement, was that there would be no social media accounts until a certain age, and that there would be no social media accounts without the permission of mom and dad. Well, one night after I got home from a meeting, which would have been just around the time the kids were getting ready for bed, I was approached by an unnamed child in our home who said, "Dad, I need to tell you something." And so we sat down on our bed, and this unnamed child began to tell me that they had established two social media accounts without mom and dad's knowledge and without mom and dad's permission. I was brokenhearted, but I thanked them for confessing and asked them if they understood that this would mean the loss of the electronics privileges until mom and dad agreed that they could be restored. Through tears, they said they understood, and we began to unpack what had led up to this unsolicited confession. Well, as it turns out, the confession wasn't as unsolicited as I thought it was. It actually was the result of an arrangement made earlier in the day with mom. Earlier in the day, the second unnamed child in our home had borrowed the first child's cell phone to play music because their battery was going dead. And while the phone was in their possession, they discovered that the social media apps had been downloaded, and not just downloaded, but hidden 3 pages deep in the utilities folder, which, as you might imagine, is not a folder that gets checked by mom and dad very often. I guess it's more accurate to say didn't get checked by mom and dad as often. Well, as you can imagine, this revelation changed the dynamics of the conversation a little bit. Not only had the electronics agreement been violated, not only had the social media accounts been established, not only had the social media apps been downloaded onto the phone, the social media accounts had been intentionally hidden 3 pages deep in a folder. Well, the conversation turned quickly to talk about trust and how trust is broken. And how when trust is broken, broken trust damages relationships. And the conversation continued to talk about the challenges of restoring trust when trust has been broken. And the conversation continued through lots of tears on both parts to talk about the price that's attached to broken trust. The next morning, as I got ready to leave for the office, I made a couple of statements to the unnamed child that I wanted to just simply embed into their heart and into their mind. And at the breakfast table, I looked at this child and I said, "Just so you know, the price that you placed on your integrity, the price that you placed on your character, the price that you place on people's ability to believe that you will do what you say you will do was Instagram and Snapchat. The price that you place on mom and dad's ability to trust you is Instagram and Snapchat. I hope it was worth it." You see, trust can be very, very challenging in relationships for many reasons. But trust also lies at the core of every relationship. And the more trust there is in a relationship, the stronger and healthier the relationship is. The early church leader Paul bumps up against this idea of trust in a letter that he wrote to a first century church in Corinth. Part of the letter that he writes has become one of the most famous passages from the Bible, and it's often referred to as the love chapter. And this part of what Paul wrote is something that you may very well have heard if you've attended very many weddings. Well, as we consider what Paul writes about love, I get a little bit uncomfortable, because as much as I love the people around me, I'm not sure how good a job I do of putting these descriptions of love into practice that Paul describes. I may be the only one who struggles with that. But either way, here we go. Here's what Paul wrote. Paul wrote, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs." Huh. My toes are already sufficiently stepped on, and we haven't even got to the part where Paul bumps up against trust. But Paul gives these descriptors of what love is. And the last one that he gives, "keeps no record of wrongs," leads us to a question that may seem a little bit random, but it's really not. What's the purpose of a filing cabinet? Well, the purpose of a filing cabinet is to store things that you may want to consider using again. Now, there are things that we put in filing cabinets that never make their way back out of the filing cabinet. But there are things in the filing cabinet that we pull out when we want to use them. And in some way, each and every one of us has a relationship filing cabinet. We put things in, and sometimes those things never make their way out. But then sometimes we put things in and we pull them out when we want to use them in our relationships. Some of us actually get really, really good at this. We pull something out of the filing cabinet and we say, do you remember when you did or said this on June 5th, 2012 at 10:05 a.m.? And then we proceed to tell them what they did on June 5th, 2012 at 10:05 a.m. And sometimes we even make this a pattern. We say, do you remember like you did on June 5th, 2012 at 10:05 a.m., how you always do that? And then sometimes the record that we've kept isn't even accurate, but it's a record that we keep in the relationship. Paul says that love keeps no record of wrongs. Now, that doesn't mean that we put ourselves in a position to be wronged over and over and over. And it doesn't mean that we simply forget what happened or what's been done or the wrongs that have been committed. What Paul means when he talks about is that love functions differently. Instead of keeping a record of wrongs to hold against someone or to create a barrier in the relationship, love focuses on resolving the wrong and resolving what has been done. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Means that love doesn't hold an offense against someone else. And then Paul continues with some more about what love is about. He says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now on the surface, most of us would probably agree, well, no one really delights in evil. But in the context of relationships that are marked by love, in the context of relationships that keep no record of wrongs, how many of us have ever known someone who kept a record of wrongs and then took delight when something bad happened to someone who had wronged them? How many of us have ever known someone who took delight in someone getting what we thought they should get? And how many of us have known somebody who we may not take delight in evil, but we sure like looking for what's wrong with something or someone? And we like pointing out the negative. And Paul says that love operates differently. Love doesn't take delight in evil, but love rejoices with the truth. And in the truth, love looks for what people are doing right. And love looks to celebrate and rejoice in what is being right rather than focused on what is being wrong. Now again, that doesn't mean that we are a doormat in relationships, that we allow people to just continually walk over us. What it does mean is that we approach relationships differently than delighting in evil and wrong record keeping. Well, Paul goes on to talk a little bit more about what love is about. He says, it, love, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love always protects. It is always looking out for the best interest of the relationship to safeguard the relationship and to safeguard those in the relationship. It always hopes. It's always hoping, looking, expecting for the good in the relationship and in those in the relationship. Love always perseveres, which means that love sticks with it when it's just easier to quit. And love always trusts. Every relationship experiences a gap between what is expected and what is experienced. It is, in fact, these gaps that create a lot of the tension and conflict in relationships. We expect our children to be the perfect children, and then they aren't. We expect our spouse to always be on the same page, and then they aren't. We expect our boss to always understand and to know and appreciate what a great job we're doing, and then they don't. We expect our friends to always be dependable and reliable and there for us, and then they aren't. And we expect our neighbor to always be considerate, and then they aren't. And every time this happens, there is a gap between the expectation and the experience. And we choose how we fill that gap. We can choose to fill that gap with trust, or we can choose to fill that gap with distrust. When we choose to fill the gap with trust, we keep the door to relationships open. When we choose to fill that gap with distrust, we close the door to relationship with some level and some sense of rejection. Now, it's easy to think that other people and the actions and decisions of other people fill the gap. But they don't. We do. Now, you may already be pushing back and saying, but there are reasons why I have filled the gap with distrust. It's the number of times that they've broken trust. And you're right. Trust has been broken. And when trust is broken, it is difficult to restore. But it is still possible. When trust is broken, we choose how to navigate the relationship. Without question, there are times when we must put distance between ourselves and someone who has continually broken trust. In fact, there are times where we need to separate a relationship with someone who has continually broken trust. But the way God has created us, the way that God has wired us, we don't necessarily want or should or need to put distance between ourselves and relationships. Yes, some relationships, but not relationships. God has created us to be relational beings. We need to be in relationship with others. And so we choose how to navigate those relationships when trust has been broken. There are relationships that we have to be involved in. And so how do we approach relationships when trust has been broken and can't be distanced or separated? Jesus actually gave us an approach for how to do this. And it may be one of the only places where Jesus gives a step one, step two, step three approach. Jesus says, when trust has been broken, when someone has wronged us, when someone has sinned against us, the first step is to go directly and speak to that person about what has been done. And then after that, if there's no resolution, the next two steps involve going and getting help from others to try to resolve the situation. But sometimes we push back, not against the step one, two, and three, but we push back against step one. Because after all, I'm just not a confrontational person. And here's the beauty of this. If you're not a confrontational person, you actually will probably be better at confrontation than someone who is a confrontational person. I mean, how many of us have been confronted by someone who was just waiting for the next confrontation to cross the path of their lives? How positive of a relationship experience was that? We choose how we fill the gap that exists when trust has been broken. We choose how to navigate the relationships. And there are times where we simply need to confront a wrong that has been done, that has broken trust. When it comes to this approach to relationship, a good guiding principle, or maybe a good general rule of thumb, is to simply do to others what you would want them to do to you. When we're the ones who have created the gap between the expectation and the experience, what is it we want people to do? We want people to trust us. We want people to give us the benefit of the doubt. We want people to extend grace to us for the sake of the relationship. When we break trust, grace is required. And the strength of our relationships will only be as strong and healthy as the level of trust in them. But before we wrap up, there's one more thing. And this isn't a footnote or an afterthought. This idea that we wrap up with actually lies at the core of our relationships. There are people who have experienced a gap between the world that we live in and the idea of a God who loves us and wants what's best for us. And they have chosen to fill the gap with distrust or disbelief. It's easy to think that the circumstances of the world fill the gap, but they don't. We choose how we fill the gap. The best way to discover whether God is trustworthy is to trust. The best way to prove God is untrustworthy is to distrust or believe. But we choose. When a relationship experiences broken trust, or when the world tends to show us that God can't be trusted, we can step back and we can brood and we can simmer and we can stew and we can allow the gap to build. And the gap gets bigger. And before long, there's another gap. And then that gap gets bigger. And then another gap. And that gap is bigger. And every gap gets bigger. And eventually, there's a break. And when it breaks, it is ugly. The application of trust is at the core of every relationship. The best way to choose whether someone is trustworthy is to trust. The best way to make someone who is trustworthy untrustworthy is to distrust. And the same holds true in relationship with God. How can you build? How can you establish? How can you grow your level of trust in relationship with those around you and in relationship with God? And how can you live your life? How can you apply the things of God and the things of God-honoring relationships in your life in a way that proves to be trustworthy? Let me pray for you. God, today, as we wrestle through this application of trust, may we lean into your trustworthiness, and may we lean into being trustworthy, and may we lean in to establishing relationships predicated on trust. And when trust is broken, may we navigate them wisely, and may we navigate them well, in a way in which trust can be restored. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.